All right, guys, welcome back. EYL.
Yeah, we back.
This is a highly anticipated episode.
Is it?
Philly.
For sure.
Glad to be here.
Shout out to Philly. But we're going to jump right into this. So as I said, it's highly anticipated. For months, people have been asking for a few different people, and we've been checking them off one by one.
Absolutely.
First, it was Envy and Caesar, and we got them out the way. And then it was Jay Morrison.
Please get Jay.
And we got that done. Shout then it was Prince Darnell. We got him done.
Yeah, like
two for one.
Yeah.
Shout out to Dana Chanel, too.
For sure. Big fan of Dana Chanel.
It was Wallo. We got him done. Shout out to Wallo. But then all throughout that, people kept asking
real.
For Greg Parker, a.k.a. Big Business. They kept asking for him, like in the YouTube comment section. All like, yo, can you get Greg? Like, I tried, man. Like, we reached out. And I actually reached out to him 6 months ago.
Nah, you did, bro.
But we was able to get it. So Big Business, a legend in the real estate game.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, for sure. If you're on social media, you probably seen one of his videos, his post. And he got a unique system because he is different from just a regular real estate investor. Mm-hmm. He has a whole system built in with his wife, does financing. He has a construction company that does construction, and he's big on rehabs.
Yeah, everything in-house.
Yeah. So he got a whole rehab system. So we're going to talk about rehab today. We haven't really talked about rehabs in depth on the show.
Yeah, people always say it in real estate, yo, rehab. But we don't really know the process of it.
Nah, yeah. It's extensive.
And he's if you see on Instagram, he got the Maybach. It's not a facade. He came outside.
It was a gift, though. I'm gonna be honest. When I first got it, I felt like Frank Lucas when he got the long coat. I was about to set it on fire. You know what I'm saying? It was drawing so much attention. People was like, oh, he really doing something.
I'm gonna be honest, man. People be pulling up to EYL. This was a pull up like I've never seen.
Nah, it's a different type of pull up. He came. And Troy called me like, yo, he got a caravan with him. What do you mean?
Like, where I'm from, you couldn't talk about it if you ain't live it. You know what I mean?
He came with him. He got three cars with him. He got 10 people with him.
I'm like, all right.
Let's do it.
I hope I got enough kids.
You telling me everybody don't do it like that? Everybody ain't doing it like that?
Nah. I'm going to keep it going.
Nah. So first and foremost, man, thank you. Thank you for joining us. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it, man. Thank you, bro. I really appreciate coming up here.
Yeah. So we're going to jump right into it as far as, I want to talk about the backstory, though, because you was telling us off camera, like, you've been in real estate for a long time when it wasn't popular.
Yeah, going on 18 years.
Yeah, and you was like, obviously you made some mistakes, but, like, what initially triggered you to get into the real estate game when, like I said, it wasn't the wave? Now it's the wave, but when it wasn't the wave.
I'm going to be truthful with y'all. The money, definitely the money. I'm going to share something with y'all, and a lot of people ain't going to like it. When I was a little boy, I come through the Trump era. And I don't know if y'all know the Trump era. I'm talking about this guy on TV every day, casinos, this, that, and the third.
Like, now, the epitome of wealth.
Right. So my dad was, doing fairly decent for himself in the streets. Mm-hmm. So him and my mom would attend all the fights. And one time I went to a fight in Atlantic City. I'll never forget it. Back then, you could give your kids money and they could run up and down the street to the arcade. Y'all remember them days?
Yeah, man.
You know, you could send your kid to the arcades and not have to worry about him coming up short or nothing happening to him. So I used to just roam up and down the boardwalk when I went out there with my parents. And I never forget, man, the night of the fight was Michael Spinks, Mike Tyson.
I was a little boy.
Yeah. And I seen all the celebrities on the boardwalk because, of course, we stayed at the hottest, hotel at the time. I think it was like the Trump Atlantis or something like that. Not the Atlantis, something like that. It was something to that effect. Mm-hmm. And I stayed. I never forget this, man. All the celebrities, I seen everybody out taking pictures. And Donald Trump walked through with two state troopers at the time. I don't think they was guards, but they was guarding him. It was two state troopers on each side of him. Brown. I never forget, they had their brown uniforms and everything. Yo, every celebrity, bro, like, they made a walkway. Like, they made a wave. They moved out of the way and made a hole. And I just never forget seeing this guy on TV every single day and seeing him like, yo, like, that's Donald Trump right there.
Yeah.
And I ain't gonna lie, man, a lot of people, we go out here to make money, but, bro, having power and having money is two different things. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I mean, of course, people get money and blow up and things happen and things change. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And change them as well. But I'm telling y'all, that sparked me. It might sound crazy, but that sparked me. So always in the back of my mind, I knew that real estate was what it was, but I didn't know how. So I started out with like two stores. I had a store in Philadelphia, And then I end up opening up another store, like a mom and pop store.
Clothing
like
store?
A regular store, bodega. Okay. This way before the clothing store days. Okay, so okay. Like a bodega. So what happened was I realized that it was costing me more money to keep the doors open than it was me actually making money. So I'm not the type of person to just have my business running just to say I got one. So it wasn't the money I was looking for, so I closed it. But I had bought a piece of property for a couple of $1,000s, and I was still kind of sort of in the streets. You know what I mean? I didn't know.
This is in North Philly?
It's North Philly. Oh, yeah. I didn't really know what to do with the property, but I had it. You know what I mean? And I'll never forget, man, I would dib and dab in every little so often, try to fix something here, do something there, but I was fresh in the game. I was 28 years old. And I'll never forget, I met a realtor, and he told me, he said, why don't you just sell it as is? And at the time, the biggest misconception people think is, I could buy a house, but I don't got money to fix it. Mm-hmm. You don't have to fix it. I made a fortune off of selling houses as is, mm-hmm. meaning, if you and I buy a shell tomorrow for $10,000 somewhere.
What's a shell?
A shell is an abandoned home. Like, everything needs to be done in it.
Like a vacant.
Like a shell. Nothing's inside.
Nothing inside of it. Yeah. Just the wall and the floor.
That's why they call it a shell.
Mm, okay.
So if you buy a shell today for $10,000 and you have a realtor listed for $25,000, somebody may offer you $15,000. You make 50% interest on your money. Mm-hmm. Now, coming from where we come from, $5,000 ain't no money. Especially to broke people. You know that? Just be honest. You know what I mean? Only rich and wealthy people understand that $5,000 made was 50% interest. But broke people, that ain't no money.
That's not enough.
So that's not appealing to us. You know what I mean? Until you learn finances. You know what I mean? So that's what happened. He said to me, he said, why don't you sell it as is? Me being the person I am, I said, I want $100,000 for it. He's like, you're not going to get $100,000 for it. I said, listed. Just list it for like 110, 105. He said, I'll list it for 103 if you want me to. But you're not going to get that. So I was like, cool. So I listed the house. And I never forget, they came to put a for sale sign on the side of it. And I ripped it down. And I was like, yo, I don't want nobody to know I'm selling it or what I'm selling it for. We got an offer within 2 weeks for $75,000. I was only in it about five or six. Hmm. I sold it, took the $75,000, bought every house I could in my neighborhood for $6,000 and $7,000 because nobody knew I was selling it because I would allow them to put a for sale sign up on the side of the house. I would just allow them to sell it through the MLS. Mm-hmm.
And you just saw it work.
And I saw it work. Once I saw it work, bro, I spent my whole first check just buying houses and I was selling them 60, 70. I looked up, I was 28 years old making about $150,000, $200,000 a month. Straight flipping houses. So it was no reason for me to be in the streets no more. You know what I mean? I'm not going to get that kind of return on my money. You know, I was able to go home and snore at night now. You know what I mean? So it was different.
Easy.
Yeah, so it was different. But honestly, that's what really motivated me, man, seeing the power of it. And then understanding, it's a difference, man, when you watch people and people talk money. But when you have money, you have power. You know what I mean? Things move when you're in a financial situation. Mm-hmm. People do things for you that they normally wouldn't do if you wouldn't been in the position that you're in. So, you know, when I learned that kind of sort of at an early age, watching my dad and other guys come from my neighborhood, you know what I mean, and just have influence because of finances, you know what I mean? And that's just really what it is. That's how I got it.
So we're going to talk about the rehab process from start to finish. But before that, because we like to paint the whole picture here. We don't want to just paint, like, there's always ups and downs in life.
Right.
And I think that even makes a better story. You was telling us, like, you went to, you took some losses. You was up early.
I took
early.
Big losses.
So can you talk about that? Because a lot of times people need to hear that side of it, too.
All right, let me tell you. I lost millions of dollars in this business. Excuse me, the first run. So I used to buy houses, fix them with my own money, and flip them out, right? Then somebody turned me on to what's called the refinance game. So when I got into the refinance game, I would buy, fix, refi, buy, fix, refi, buy, fix, refi. I was moving so fast, half the time I didn't even care if it was a tenant in them. And that's a lot of us. People might not admit that to y'all, but that's a lot of us. Because once you refinance, you get the money that you put in, plus you up some profit. So what if it's sitting for 5 or 6 months and you're missing $1,000 a month? You missed $6,000, but you just refined and pulled out $80,000. So yeah. In your mind, you're not thinking nothing of it.
Your win is already built in.
Right. Yeah. Until you look up and you're 15 months not making no money. Now you're 15 down. Now you're counting the money. You done spent some here, so forth and so on. So I got in with the refi game. And when the market tanked and people couldn't pay their rent.
Like 2008.
Yeah, the mortgage companies still want their money. So I always tell people this. People buy, fix, refi. Buy, fix, refi, rent. Buy, fix, refi, rent. Listen, By the time you get to the fifth or sixth one, you should be looking to liquidate two, so that this way you can pay the loans down on maybe one or two of them and keep. You want to be as liquid and financially free as possible, because trust me, right now it looks good. Like I just said to y'all, let's just say your mortgage is $1,000 a month on a rental property, and you're getting $1,500 a month rent. Your mortgage is $1,000 a month, so you're getting a $500 positive cash flow. That's $6,000 a year. If the outside pipe break and it costs you $6,500 to get fixed, you negative $500 for the year on your profit. People don't tell y'all those numbers. Have you ever heard anybody tell me those numbers? Give me the realistic numbers. Give me the realistic numbers saying, hey, yeah, I got a portfolio of 20 houses and I refied all 20. Well, if the market go belly up, not even the market, it ain't so much as the market tank, the economy takes a hit. When the economy take a hit and your 10 tenants lose their job, where you gonna get the money from? Because the mortgage companies still want their money. And the government still want their tax money. So this is what happens. So let's say they foreclose on 4,000 houses. Let me tell you how the game go. If whatever major bank foreclose on 4,000 houses, right? And then you say, yo, they giving these houses away at the auction. Yeah, because guess what? The mortgage company still has to maintain insurance and pay taxes on those 4,000 houses to the government. The government don't care nothing about that. They want their bread. Like people don't know this. I'm gonna give people that's in foreclosure a tip right now. If your house is going through foreclosure and you can't pay your insurance or nothing else, your mortgage company is entitled to pick up the insurance. People don't know that.
That's new.
So they have to?
Yeah, they gotta pick up insurance. They cannot have insurance.
How long do they have that?
I don't know how long it is. It's supposed to be for the duration. They gotta pick up insurance. So let me just say this. Let's say if you're in foreclosure right now. Let's say this house is in foreclosure right now, right? And then tomorrow the roof leaks. Your mortgage company got insurance on it. You can call it in. If it floods in here.
Good to know.
That's great to know. Because it's a lot of people right now in the foreclosure don't got no way to go. And they might have their roof might be leaking. And they may not have the money to get it fixed. But they think because their insurance dropped or they didn't pay no insurance that there's no insurance on the house. And that's not true. They have insurance. You have insurance on your house. Check it out.
Good to know. I didn't know that. So you over leveraged yourself as far as you wasn't liquidating properties. You was just buying, refinancing.
We think making profit is the exit strategy, bro. That's not an exit strategy. Think about it. How are you at an exit if you got debt? Where's the exit at? The exit strategy ain't that he's paying rent every month that's paying the mortgage. I still owe the mortgage. I'm still in debt. That's not an exit strategy. That's maintenance. He's maintaining my payment for the duration that he's there. God forbid he don't leave or die within 30 years of this mortgage. How realistic is that?
So at the time you were flipping these, what's the turnaround? How fast are they getting done?
Well, when you flipping a property in a high market, I mean, you can blow a property out like every month or 2 months. Like right now, this market, it's houses that's not staying on the market for weeks. It depends on what market you're in.
So you started in Northern Philly.
I started in North Philly.
But you have portfolio that goes through other cities, right? I saw
right.
Detroit, Miami. How did you spread that net?
I'm going to get the money. Wherever the best deals are, I'm going to get it. Wherever I think the best markets are, I'm going to get it. I see a lot of people in Jersey. That's a great market. I'm just not used to the extensive red tape. It's a lot of red tape in Jersey. And I don't have the patience for it. You know what I mean?
So you got red tape in Jersey. Try New York.
Yeah. No, I know, but I mean, there's some cities that they're a little more lenient on things. They don't have a tight leash. You know what I mean? Everything is not super political. You know what I mean? It's easy for you to go and flip one or two houses, but when you got hundreds of houses and you're teaching thousands of people, and you know what I mean, you might got somebody down there that might not want to approve your permit.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Things change. It gets different. You know.
So
what I mean?
How did you bounce back from the loss? All right. So you in Miami and you was buying a bunch of properties, but you wasn't liquidating them. And then
I was in Philly. I bought a bunch of properties, refied. The market hit and I lost. What happened was, I was out buying those houses for $5,000 and $6,000 and $7,000. I still had a ton of stuff. This is when I learned what an asset actually is. I didn't understand what an asset really was until I lost all the cash. So when the market tanked and I ran through all my liquid, I had moved to Florida. True story, I moved to Florida, I had an apartment. Only furniture I had in an apartment was bedroom furniture. I never even had living room furniture. I had TV sitting on the floor. And I promised my wife and my kids that we wasn't gonna be here long enough for me to have to get furniture. And I never forget just falling back, breathing a little bit. Because, of course, everybody, you know, you got 1,000 people riding your back when you're riding high. When you don't, it's just really you and your kid and your wife and, you know what I mean, your immediate circle. So I was able to breathe. No more phone calls, no more people needing this and that. You know, I was able to breathe. And I never forget, I started getting those phone calls and those letters. You know what I mean? I started getting them.
Yeah.
And it was like, hey, you want to sell this house? And I would call and be like, how much you want to give me for this house? I'd be like, 40 grand. And I'm like, I ain't about to give me 40 grand for this house. I only paid 3,000 for it. And I would get them more frequent. And I flew home and I really started figuring out. And I looked up, man, all the seeds that I had planted had sprouted up.
So you just waited it out.
Yeah.
I had no choice but to wait it out.
So it was like
a
wholesaling situation? Like the wholesalers were calling you? Like, yo.
Every wholesalers, everybody. So what happened was, I had a house that I had paid $10,000 for. Me and LaShawn McCoy partnered up on it.
Okay.
And
really?
And I went in and I rehabbed this house. I put about 60 grand in. I paid 10 for it, put about 60 grand in it. But I mean, I killed this house. I mean, it was normally would have been a $100,000 job, but I did it myself. So, I mean, we had floating stairs, marble bathrooms, every amenity you could think of in a multi-million dollar home in a hood. And everybody would come past. I would leave the door wide open for people to see. And they'd be like, why would you put this money in this house? This house don't belong in this neighborhood. Mm. You're never going to. I'm telling you, it sounds crazy, man. And I never forget, I sold the house for $150,000. And the neighborhood just tipped off of that comp. And they never looked back.
Mm. Yeah, so you pretty much set the standard for the comps.
Definitely. In Brewerytown, it's public records. You can check it. In Brewerytown, Philadelphia, one of the hottest areas in Philadelphia.
Was that at North,
I set the
North
comp.
Philly?
Yeah, 29th, right up between 29th and 30th and Jefferson, right there. I set the comps there. Went back, bought an old bar, ripped it out, turned into a community learning center. Right in my hood. My office is in my hood. 90% of my stuff is in my neighborhood. I'm born and raised in.
Yeah, it's so a part of your team. Do you have somebody in the appraisal process as that's part of your team?
No,
well?
Not appraisals. Okay. Stuff that's anything that's like government wise, yeah. Like I stay away from it. Yeah. Nah, when we refi, we deal with legit banks, mm-hmm. and they send their own appraiser. It ain't back in the day where they'll let you send your appraiser and you can get the house appraised for whatever. Like, nah, those days over.
All right. So in the next segment, we're going to go into the meat and potatoes of it as far as the rehab process. That's what you do.
Yeah, how to.
And yeah, we're going to give you a how to for sure. That's a fact.
Let's do it.
All right. So in this segment, we're going to talk about rehab. Before we start, rehab is pretty extensive. So the first thing that people have been asking for a long time is like, the hardest part of, and even this is what Caesar said,
yeah.
The hardest part of real estate is finding a good contractor.
Right.
So you have a contracting company. Like, what are tips? How does somebody know you fresh, just bought a house, you don't know anything about real estate, you're trying to rehab, you're trying to fix up a home. How do you know, like, a good contractor? Like, how do you vet somebody?
All right, this the only way you can vet somebody without actually knowing what to look for. First and foremost, if you know what to look for, then you'll know if a contract is good or not just by the conversation. But in our demographic, in our community, it's really word of mouth. That's how you can tell. I mean, you know, if he used a contract and you ask him, like, yo, what's up with the contract? He's like, nah. You know not to use it.
Ain't rocking with him.
Right, but yeah. if you're like, nah, he official. So and we got word of mouth spreads fast in our community. But the number one way, man, honestly, is to actually get educated. Like, I mean, everybody that's in the real estate business, the contractor, they took a hit off the contractor. I did.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Plenty of contractors got over on us.
Yeah, exactly. How do you know if somebody...
The main contractor's going to get over on y'all is like y'all uncles. You know what I mean? Like, nah, my uncle and I do everything.
How you know if you're getting ripped off?
I mean, in the beginning...
No way to know?
No, it's really no way to know. It's no way to know. Like, man, when we... I never forget, me and my best friend... We had a first house at the same time. He decided, by the way, to fix his. I decided to sell mine. I just blew mine out. And I never forget, my uncles and them had did all the plumbing. So his bathroom was done and everything, right?
My uncles and them.
So I came downstairs one day. I'm like, well, where are the pipes coming? Like, this your bathroom, right? You're like, yeah. I'm like, well, where are the pipes coming from? No water, no pipes, no nothing. Whole bathroom done. It was like a model home. You know what I'm saying? It was like a model, it was like staged. You know what I mean? How they was able to get over was, one, he was 27, I was about 28, we was kids, not knowing nothing about the business. Two, the water was turned off from the street at the time. So they had us under the impression that they would fix the house, then call the city last to come cut the water on. But it was no plumbing or nothing hooked up. And they just did it like
that. What's that conversation like when you realize that?
I mean, it's bad. You know, it's a bad conversation.
I'm about to, like,
it's bad. It's like, but I'm gonna tell you something. In that era back then, it's just what people did, man. People chased the money. They didn't really think that we would make it to this level.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
so even, they didn't care about the reputation.
Nah, they didn't care about reputation. But yeah. One thing about that construction, you will learn it through trial and error. Everybody gonna pick something up and try some stuff on their own. They're gonna pick something up and try. Every one of us did that. It probably took me a month and a half to sheetrock this room all by myself, but I can do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But now, once you learn, like, you know, you don't cut the sheetrock. If you watch it, once you watch a professional do something, you know what? I just thought about while I'm sitting here. If you got the opportunity to be around some professionals, just go watch. Because if you see how the sheetrock's supposed to be done, and you go to hire somebody if they're too busy, then you know instantly if they're putting it up right or if they're putting it up wrong. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Oh, put the walls up, then it's, nah, you put the ceiling up, then you put the walls up. The walls holding up the ceiling. It's little minute stuff like that that you wouldn't know unless you was in there watching.
Yeah, so like you talk a lot about the phases of rehab. So the first one is finding the contract, and the next one is the demolition. The construction team does that.
Right. First thing is please, permits. Yeah. Somebody got to be licensed. LNI is not the cops.
Yeah.
Everybody think LNI is the cops. Like, yo, close the windows, yeah. Lock the door. Yo, LNI coming down the street. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, yo, the permit. And I fell victim to that.
Those are the expenses that people don't really think about. Like, nah. They know the labor, they know the materials, but the permits.
Paperwork, permits, plans, blueprints. That sounds like something extensive.
Yeah.
Right now, they damn near want plans for everything. In Philadelphia, if I just renovate your basement, they want plans.
What's the pricing on those permits and to get those?
I mean, the permits don't cost nothing. Yeah. Pulling permits, say like $50, $280, $180. Now, when you got to get to an architect and you need plans, it costs a little more. It might be $2,000, $3,000, depending upon the job. Now, where the permits get pricey at, I'm just going to put it out there and talk real, is you doing a house and you don't really have a license. So now you want to use his license for him to get you a permit. Mm-hmm. Then the permit might shoot up to $1,500. This is what people do.
Yeah.
Because everybody don't have the credentials.
So the contractor handles all of that.
The contractor's supposed to handle all of that.
And so what questions do you ask a contractor?
Are you licensed and insured?
Are you licensed and insured?
First and foremost.
First and foremost, and I'm going to tell you why. Because trying to cut corners always seem to revert back to doing it three times. You understand what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
So cutting corners always revert back to doing it three times, and you look up and you done spent twice the amount of money that you was spending thinking you was going to cut a corner.
Another thing that I think I heard you say, I know Cesar said as well, is that you pay contractors should be paid in phases.
Exactly.
Is that you agree with that?
And you know what? In this era, people are more protected than we was in the beginning, because when you get funding, they would normally say, okay, back in the day, it's like, oh, it's $70,000 to get it done. They give you $70,000. Well, we know we ain't going to get the job done. We got to get the car and the watch. You know what I mean? Maybe we get the job done later. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So now it's like, okay, one, you got to put your own money up. I don't know if y'all know that. So let's say you get $100,000 to do your rehab, right? The first phase is $25,000. Well, you got to get $25,000 worth of work done. Then they come out and expect it and see it's $25,000 worth of work done. Then they reimburse you.
Yeah,
construction loans are reimbursement loans now,
so
which protects everybody, because now watch this. I'm your contractor, right? You give me $25,000. I don't do no work, right? You burnt out of the $25,000, but you're not burnt out of the whole $100,000. You understand? You got an opportunity to recoup. Now, the banks is not out of nothing because you paid for the first phase.
Gotcha.
So you don't have to mess the loan up. So let's say if a contractor get low on you in the first phase, well, the lender didn't give you no money on the first phase, because as they come and inspect, the work is not done. That's another way you know. Pulling permits will save you too, because you have to get city inspections and you have to get inspections from the bank.
Yeah, you said something about having permits after every phase.
After every phase. So you got to get permits and plans to go in. Right? Demo alterations. After you demo, they got to come out and inspect it, and you want to frame it. Frame the alterations permit, boom. After you frame it, you get an inspection, then you got mechanicals, electric, plumbing, HVAC. After each mechanical, you got to get electrical inspector to come and inspect the electrical. They put a sticker on your window. This is how it is in Philly.
Mm-hmm.
They give you a sticker saying you passed electrical, then a regular city inspector comes back out and inspects the plumbing and the HVAC. Boom. You get cleared to do that, now you can close the walls. You don't need a permit to close the walls. You just need to inspect. You didn't need a permit for the beginning to start, the demo, the framing, and the mechanicals. After that, once you close the walls up and everything is done, they do what's called the final inspection, sign off on it. And that's it, and you're ready to go.
So like the 203K loan, which is a renovation loan from a bank.
The hardest loan in the world. No contractor wants to deal with that. It's a disaster.
Why is that?
It's too extensive and it's too tight. The government, it's not like the government, it's a lot to get your money.
For a contractor.
Yeah, it's a lot for a contractor. A lot of contractors don't like, you got some contractors that just specialize in that. Then you got some contractors, they don't want to deal with that.
So it's great.
Because it's too much easy money.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking to myself. It's great for the person who's trying to get the home, not so great for the guy who's trying to get
exactly. Exactly.
So what kind of financing do most contractors prefer? Obviously cash, but the majority of people don't have enough cash to pay somebody. So
right now, people staying away from banks. Like, the reason that the market is not really going to tank, it might slow up and shift, but it's not going to tank because people are not overexposed with these banks. People are dealing with private lenders.
Hard money lenders?
Not really. Hard money and private lending is two different things.
Okay, what's a private lender?
Private lender is just a group of people like us.
Okay.
You know what I mean? We might got $20 million. We're going to lend on it with 8% interest on it, and we're going to make some money, right, together, collectively, a group of us, friends. Hard money lenders is different. They kind of the same, but they're a little more extensive on the requirements and the criteria. You know what I mean? Hard money lenders come a little harder. You know what I mean? Like, you know, one false move, we own that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's mine.
It's like
now.
The mafia.
Yeah.
What about the job, like the materials for the job? Is there a strategy that you use, or are you buying in bulk, or do you?
This is what I do. Build a relationship. I don't care. Don't think you can't build a relationship with a corporation. I spend over $1 million a year in Home Depot. So I got a great relationship with them. I'm getting everything with like a 3% markup on some things. Mm. So where, let's say sheetrock costs $11 a sheet, I'm paying like $7.30.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So I get discounts because the more money I spend there, the more discounts I get.
How'd you establish that?
I went through what's called a Pro Rewards account. And I get 2% off of everything I spend every 6 months. So if I spend $500,000, I get 2% of that. In 6 months, and I spend another $500,000, I get 2% of that. So I get that. I get discount on paint. But it's just for everybody. Like, these are just programs that they offer. Mm-hmm. When you're a contractor, you got to get into – you can't just go in and spend money like an everyday person because you're spending a lot of money. You want to get the discount. So you want to find out what programs are available.
Dope. So what is the most important part of rehabbing a house? Like, is it the walls? Is it the floor? Like, what's going to make the house the most valuable? Kitchen?
The kitchen, the bathrooms, the exterior, curb appeal, the extra amenities, finished basement, hardwood floors throughout, what kind of tile you use, what kind of light fixtures you use, just the little stuff that catch people's eye, because I'm going to be honest with you. I could strip a house down to the bare bone, right? Strip it all the way down. That's what we do. We strip it all the way down to the brick and frame it up and do all new electric, plumbing, HVAC, everything, sheetrock, everything brand new, and people have noticed one little nick on that wall. Oh, what's a little paint smudge right here? You know what I mean? I just rebuilt this whole house. Like, I had a guy, we had built a deck one time, and the back of the deck had leaked. And he said, he called me like, yo, he was like, yo, you got to get down here real quick. I'm like, what's the matter? He's like, it's leaking in here. So I come, I look at the back of the deck, it's leaking. I mean, he irate. What are we going to do? So I said, he said, man, what are you laughing at? I said, you watch me build this whole house from shit. Excuse me, from nothing. And you complaining about that little teeny leak. And that's how I was able to calm him down. I'm like, bro, you watch me build this whole house. Like, this was a bandominium. You know what I mean? Like,
a
it was
bandominium.
Done. You know what I mean?
A bandominium.
You watch me put it back together. You know what I mean? But people, like I said, people only see the small things. They could see, oh, it's a nick in the wall. Oh, this is crooked. And we just built this whole entire house. You know what I mean? So
from a contractor standpoint, because you're interesting because you're an investor and you're a contractor, right?
Right, right.
So we talk about a lot of, I realize we've never really looked at it from that standpoint. Right. Like, from a contractor, like, how do they go about as far as structuring their business model? Like, you have a, like, how do they find clients? How do they, like, navigate?
A lot of time clients, let me just real quick, because I'm going to tell you something about contractors. This is how we lose big with contractors. A contractor give us an estimate. I want $100,000 to fix your house. And you beat them up. No, I can't do 100. I could do 62. 62, I can't do it for 62. I can do it for 95. Man, I can do it for 62, that's it. The man commit to 62,000. You give him a deposit, what do? Never come back. Right? You know why? Because there's no way he's going to get the job done for $62,000. He told you how much the job costs.
Yeah.
But he took the money. A lot of times, you get contractors that take a deposit and just use jobs like that as cash flow. Like, you know what? I'll make the difference up somewhere else. I just need this money right now, so forth and so on. But if you get a GC that come through and give you the number, instead of beating up on them, just get a couple of estimates. If it's in the same ballpark, do not try to knock that man down so you can go home and say, yo, I got him to do it for 62. And then next week, you ain't heard from him no more.
They go, you're 62.
Exactly.
So when you do these full gut rehabs, right, and you walk in, I mean, visually, you're seeing how you're going to landscape this thing out. Is there an architect that works with you? Like,
Not me.
Who's doing
not
that?
Not me. Everything you see in my house is me. When I gut a house out, like if I rip this house out right now, if I rip the building out we in, like I can visualize where every room where I want it at. I've been doing it that long.
Once you walk in.
Yeah, like I'd love for y'all to come down one day and see me do it.
We'll come down and run with me
and see me do it. But I could rip this whole house out and just be like, as a matter of fact, if you look at my Instagram, you'll see me laying out.
That's what I'm saying. I'm
That's what I do. I visualize.
When you walk in, you visually seeing like, you know what?
I can see
it. Open floor space. That's going to be two bedrooms up here. We're going to put the basement. We're going to add a wall. And once you walk in.
Well, when you do so many of them, most of them become a cookie cutter. It's four or five different styles.
Okay.
When you do so many of them. You know what I mean? I'm doing hundreds of houses yearly. You know what I mean? So I got stuff going on in different cities that in Cleveland, I don't knock no walls down. I keep the structure sound. I keep it. In Philly, they call for open floor plan. When they walk in that front door, they want to see the back door, which is easy because we don't have to spend all the money on these partition walls. Mm-hmm. We knock every wall down on the first floor. You open that front door, you can see out the back. You put the kitchen in the back, put a half bath on the side, and that's it. And you come out of here.
Yeah, when we spoke to Season Envy, they were like, they have a standard, right? They don't, when they do something rehab, they keep the same paint, so everything is very easy for them. Is that a strategy you use, or you try to make it?
Yeah, I got my own paint too. Big Business Gray, and it's at Home Depot.
Oh, word?
Yeah, Big Business Gray. So it's a grade I use called Big Business Gray. It's made by PPG Paint. And you can get it. And it's the ceiling white is called Sky's the Limit White.
Mm-hmm.
And I paint all my doors a signature red. It's called Paris Apple Red. It's named after my granddaughter and my daughter. So and these legit paints. These legit paints that sell at Home Depot.
Dope.
So you're like I said, you're like on a chessboard, you're the red and black. You're both. You're an investor and you're a contractor. It gives you an advantage because you can look at a house and say, okay, I know this is how much it needs to be fixed up because you're the one that's fixing it up.
Right.
But for the average person that doesn't have any knowledge of that, budgeting, like how do you see a property and say, okay, this is a good buy or this isn't a good buy? Because you don't really know.
All right, let me tell you. Anything that you could turn a profit on is a good buy. Remember, I told you, it has nothing to do with the structure of it or nothing. Let's say you and I buy a house today for $20,000 and we don't know nothing about it, how much it's going to cost. We got $100,000 to fix it. We find out tomorrow he come through as a contractor and say, it's going to be $200,000 to fix it. Well, that's $100,000 our budget, right? But we paid, what I say we pay for, $20,000? We list it for $50,000. If somebody gives us $40,000, we make 100% interest on our money. There are ways. It's 1,000 ways to skin this cat. The biggest part about real estate is ownership. The second you own it, you got so many angles to ping off of. Prime example, if you and I buy something for $20,000, we know it costs $200 to fix it, but it's going to be worth $400, and we stand to make $200,000 profit. Well, guess what? I could tell somebody, hey, give me $200,000 to fix this house. I'm going to give you back $300,000. I'm still making $100,000 minus the $20,000 I paid for it. I made $80,000, and I ain't spent none of my money but $20,000. But I gave somebody 50% interest on their money.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many ways with this game. You can sell it as is, or you and I can get a loan to fix it, put the $200,000 into it, and it's worth $400,000 and make the $200 or $180 profit. So it's so many ways. The main thing is ownership. You gotta buy it. You buy it, you good. You buy this building right now. And guess what? If we go belly up, we can refinance it. We don't want to sell it. We need to stay here. We're gonna refinance it. Pull that money out, make a move. You know what? We don't want to refinance it. We're gonna sell it. We're gonna do whatever with it. We can get an investor coming. Hey, listen, I want to Airbnb this house. Give me $50,000, and we're gonna be partners on it. There's so many ways that you can flip it. Once you have ownership, once you own it, you in the game.
That's the key.
So how do you know if something needs, because you say you fully demolish everything. How do you know something doesn't really need to be fully demolished or it just needs a little bit of work?
Like when you do a partial rehab.
Man.
Is there any partial rehab ever a good rehab or no?
All right, listen. I'm going to be honest with you. So in markets that's jumping, like in Jersey and stuff, I would definitely demo everything out. if they think they got a great comp now and they just doing light rehab, they could set the market if they rip everything out to the brick. If they rip it out to the brick and do everything crazy over, they could set the market. They'd be super rich.
Set the market. That's like set the market comps.
I set the comps. I don't care. Nobody can't tell me, oh, the comps is only this in this neighborhood. This, listen.
You made them.
I make the comps. Everywhere I go, I make the comps.
How does it, all right. So you make the comps by, how many houses does it take in a neighborhood to make a comp?
Like one.
Really?
One house. Prime example. If I went to Cleveland and I'm buying houses for 15, I'm selling them for, I'm buying shells for 15. Well, housing need work for 15. I'm selling them for 85 with 20 down. People are asking me, who am I selling them to? What happens is I sell them with 20 down. I do the construction for them, and I'm the mortgage company. So I might put, let's say if I put 20 into them, I'm all in them 35. People give me 20 down. I'm 15 out of pocket. They still owe me $60,000. They pay me $500, $700 a month mortgage.
So once you sell the first one.
Once I sell the first one for 85.
It sets the trend.
It sets it.
Yeah.
So normally.
And you might even own the next three on the block.
I own the whole block. But I'm going to tell you how it goes. That's because people are following. And the thing is this. I'm not really looking to really flip. I don't want my clients to flip. When I sell to my clients, it's a buy and hold. Because I might sell you yours. Like in the beginning, I was selling them for 50. Then it was 65, now it's 85. So now my people that was in for 50 are trying to sell to make their 35,000 profit. Mm. Next month when I feel like changing the comp to 125, my 65 people gonna be able to sell. And then so forth and so on. I just keep elevating. And it's, and the thing is, ownership is how I did it. If I buy enough, if I own, I own over like 500 doors in Cleveland, no exaggeration. We own almost 500 doors, right? Mm. So if I list, if I put everything on the market for sale that I own right now for $100,000, anybody else that bought something for $10,000 gonna think they're entitled to $100,000. So we all put them up for $100,000. Guess what the number is? $100,000.
That's the new number.
So that's interesting. Is that controlling the comps or manipulating the comps?
That's not manipulating the comps. Is if you my man and I buy a house for $20,000 and I sell it to you for $85,000, that's manipulating. It's people from all over the world calling me to buy these properties. But this is why they calling to buy them. So even though I'm charging $85,000, they give me $20,000 down and their mortgage payment is $500 a month, right? But I want you to understand that their rental income is $1,600 a month. Mm. So if they're getting $800 for each, because these are two families I'm selling. They're getting $800 for the upstairs, $800 for the downstairs. They're getting $1,600 a month. They pay me $5,000. Let's say me $5,000, then property management, $150,000. Let's say they walking with a positive of $800.
This is didn't we're talking like
this
Cleveland?
In Cleveland.
What's the taxes like?
A couple hundred dollars a year.
Nothing crazy.
Yeah. So let's say they make an $800 positive cash flow, right? Off of a $20,000 investment. Like that's $9,600 a year. In 2 years they make all their money back. Hmm. What happened to the 30-year mortgage? We just shrunk that up. Ownership. 3 years you own it. Hmm. You got all your money back. At least you got all your money back.
You used to get it in Ohio.
Because I saw you said,
and we ain't even talking about the refi. I ain't even laid a refi game down. That's just me saying you in something free and clear. You own it. Or you in something not necessarily free and clear because they still owe me a balance. But they got all of their money back out of it.
So that's why you say comp should be your starting point, not your bottom.
Exactly. You saw me say that?
I did.
So I'm talking about your homework.
We do a little homework.
Your homework,
yeah,
huh?
We do a little.
So one other question I wanted, because another video I saw that was really dope a while ago that you did. You said the process is you buy it, you flip it, you buy it, you fix it up, you refi, then the escrow, then you sell. Can you explain that?
Say it again with the
so
escrow.
So you buy it, you buy a property, you fix it up, and then you refi the money. You put that the refi.
Oh,
money
okay,
in
okay,
escrow,
okay. I got
so
you.
So it saves you time.
This how you do it. This what I meant by that. So you buy a house. This is basic. Buy it, fix it, refinance it, rent it. So let me give I got to give you everything in numbers.
Okay.
Right. We buy for 100, we fix for 100, we in it 200. It appraises at 400. We pull out 70%, which is 280, right? So we pull out 280, we was in it 200. We got $80,000 that we up on the refi, right? Our payment is 2800, 1%. So our payment is $2,800 a month. where you take 28,000 of that 80,000 and put it in escrow, so you know you're good for 10 months, mm-hmm. right? The second month in, you rent it out. You probably ain't gonna get $2,800 a month rent due to this market, but we gonna pull that 80 out anyway because that's what we do, right? It's truth. So, but what you want to do is if you put that 28,000, you up 10 months. So even if you rent it out for 1,500, that'll overlap. You understand? And that'll give you some buying time while you taking the other 60, whatever, $1,000 left and you turning it. That's what I meant by escrow. Because what happens is people refi, take that money out, and think they're going to put all the money in one bank account, and every month they're going to take that money from that bank account and pay that mortgage. Well, they get to spending that money and reinvesting that money. Everyday life happens, and you look up, they don't have that money or the mortgage money. So I would escrow at least 10 months, so I know I'm good for 10 months. You got to give yourself a cushion. Yeah. Everyday life happens.
So do you believe in buying and holding, or just—
I'm all buying and holding now that I'm older. Okay. My kid probably he probably can't wait to flip all his house. But when you get to a point like me, man, I'm 44 years old. I've been in the game since I've been 28 years old, and I sleep 4 hours a day. Like, I barely sleep with my wife. I see my wife like 1 week out of the month. You know what I mean? Like,
shout out to Nacho Banger.
Like, bro, yeah. That's my boy. Yeah, that's my boy. Yeah, that's my young boy.
That's my guy. That's
all he want to do is dance all day.
He sat in this chair a few weeks ago.
Yeah, that's my boy. So when you get to that point, man, you got to kind of sort of figure out one day, you know, I won't be able to go out and kill my food to bring it home for the tribe. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? So I got to kind of sort of have a machine set up in place. And the thing is, my kids love me and they follow me. But my son, you know what I mean? I don't want to leave this earth and I leave my children in debt. You know, if you got an extensive portfolio, but you refied everything and you bringing in $30,000 a month, but your mortgages is 22, man, you work for the bank, man. Mm. You know what I mean? You work for the bank. My kids walk with $8,000 a month. Now, when I leave here, whatever I leave them, I want them. If they don't feel like working, they don't owe nobody nothing. You know what I mean? And that's what we got to get into. Like, if you want to be in this business, you cannot get into becoming an entrepreneur to be in debt. Entrepreneurs, you know, we're not supposed to work for each other. I mean, work for anybody. That's why we become entrepreneurs. But I mean, if, like I said, if you're bringing in $30,000 rent roll and you paying $22,000 because you got $4 million in loans, you know what I mean? You work for the bank. Because if you don't believe me, don't go out there and pay it. And see what happens. See how much of an empire you really own. I know people that's, man, listen, man, I know groups that's buying and building crazy $50 million lines. What happens if something happened to them? Their kids got to step up and what? And be liable for that. Their next of kin is liable for that stuff, or they're going to lose everything. So everything they built, you know, when you weren't teaching your kids, you know, to go to college and do this because you thought you had them, and then you look up one day, something happened to you. How many of us know our friends that parents left them stuff and they messed it up, they blew it? Because you know why? The parents never taught them the business. They didn't care about the business. The parents thought they had it to the point where they could just leave them the money. We were never taught maintenance. You got to be taught maintenance.
Yeah, I don't even know people who parents left them anything. So that's bad. You got to
yeah,
add
yeah,
the curve.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, 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 right? We breaking the cycle right now.
Yeah, we're going to be the parents.
Yeah, I was in a meeting with somebody, not to get long with. I was in a meeting with somebody last week, and he was saying, yeah, I just want to, you know, I'm not going to leave. Man, listen, if I get $100 million, I'm just going to leave my kids this percentage, and I'm not going to leave my kids all this money. I don't want them to be spoiled. And I just straight up looked at him and asked him, like, then quit. What you working so hard for? You got enough for you, right? If you got enough for you and you feel that way, take $2 million, put it in some kind of IRA or something until you do have kids and they do get older, and quit. Like, what's the use of you making $50, $100 million? You say you're going to leave your kids $2 million apiece so they can struggle.
Hustle for your last name, man.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's crazy.
That's a fact. All right. Well, in the last second, we're going to end it out. We're going to talk about your wife, and we're going to talk about Maybach Construction and all the other stuff you got going on in Cleveland classes and all that. Let's do it. All right, so in the last segment, we're gonna bring it home, but I wanted to ask you some geographic questions. So you're from Philadelphia.
Yes.
Can we talk about Philly briefly? Because we had a few guests from Philly. Shout out to everybody. Sean Bullard.
Yeah, Prince Donnell.
Sean, yeah. I know Sean.
Yeah, Sean. I know Sean. Prince Donnell, Dana Chanel, Wallow. Now yourself, so
that means we gotta come to Philly.
Yeah. That's all North Philly.
Yeah, we coming to Philly.
That's all North Philly been on here so far.
Shout out to North Philly.
Yeah.
Home of some of the greatest rappers, Philadelphia.
Oh, Philly, my favorite.
South Philly, West Philly, Southwest, Uptown.
For sure. So we talk about gentrification a lot, and Philly is an area that's definitely getting gentrified and changing a lot, right? Like, how have you grew up in Philly? Like, how's the area, how's the city, like, changed as far as real estate and the prices of real estate and gentrification and things of that nature?
Oh, man, it changed tremendously. It's crazy. I was buying houses. It's a block called Dover Street in North Philly, 1400 block of Dover Street. I bought two houses side by side, one for $500 and one for $1,500. The last house I was involved in on that block, I think, sold for like $375.
$500?
$500.
What year was that?
What?
This had to be about maybe now, maybe 13 years ago.
$500.
$500.
That's crazy.
Listen.
That's insane.
Listen, this is happening all over the country. It's just not there. Like, I'm telling you. I mean, y'all see me in Cleveland. Come on, y'all got to know. Come on. If I left Philadelphia.
So what's up with Cleveland? Why'd you choose Cleveland?
Same thing in Philadelphia. I felt like when I got introduced to Cleveland, it was like I was put in a time machine. Like, I felt like somebody took me back in time and I had the same opportunities that I missed the first time. And I wasn't going to miss it this time. Like, I made a fortune. I took care of my family. I was able to change things in my community in Philadelphia. If you see me pick up and leave that and go somewhere else, and you don't believe it, then something is just wrong with you. There's no way in the world. Like, I got hundreds of people, literally, no exaggeration, that I take care of that depend on me daily. You know, people that work for me, families, whoever, you know what I mean, that depend on me to go out and turn a buck daily. So if I picked up and move, I must see a bigger play. Like, you know what I mean? And some things, even the people that don't come through our programs, like, go out there and buy something.
Barry, we actually going to go out there. We got to connect with you when we go out there. Shout out to Beyond Wynn. He's a real estate agent.
Yeah, Beyond.
Yeah, you know, you say,
I talked to Beyond today.
Yeah, that's our guy. That's our guy.
I know everybody. I know everybody. I'm in the middle of it. I'm here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he was telling us it's a lot of opportunity in Cleveland, and it's starting to pick up, and more people out of the country, investors are starting to come in. And
I had a guy, no exaggeration, I had a guy buy property off of me from Afghanistan Christmas Day. He sent the money. I don't know how he sent it on Christmas Day. I told him no banks. He kept telling me, like, check it. I sent the money. Check it. And I'm like, bro, it's Christmas. And he was like, nah, I sent it. And sure enough, the next day it cleared. He sent the money from Afghanistan. So people are watching, man. Like, I don't know if y'all understand how big this is. Like, this is big. You know what I mean? Like, people are watching worldwide, not just in the United States, not just people you go out and see in your neighborhood that say, oh, I seen you on the TV or on the podcast. Like, bro, people watching worldwide. True story, we was in Beverly Hills, and I was walking down the Walk Where the Stars At. And if y'all ever been there, it's like people panhandling, all kind of craziness going on, right? So this lady came. We had gave her some money. I think she was like reading our palms or something. We don't know. We gave her some money. So I got a little further down the street, and the guy was selling CDs. And I was like, bro, I gave the lady all the money I had in my pocket. I don't have it. He's like, nah, take this CD. I was like, bro, I don't have no more money on me. So he kept shoving. I said, listen, if you give me that CD, bro, one more time, I'm gonna take it, I'm not giving it back. So he's like, why are you talking like that? I said, 'cause that's how I talk. That's exactly how the conversation went. He said, you ain't from around here. I said, nah, I ain't from around here. He's like, nah, I know where you from. I said, man, you don't know where I'm from. He said, yes, I do. He said, you big business. I said, man, give me the fucking CD. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? But at that point, I realized, you know, I mean, I'm on the West Coast. I'm from North Philly. You know what I mean? I'm in Beverly Hills. I'm in Hollywood. I mean, and somebody from the streets of Hollywood, you know what I mean, recognized me and told me who I was. And I reposted the story. And after I reposted the story on my Instagram, other people were like, yo, I thought that was you at Rock Show. I seen you come through this. I'm like, damn. Like, you know what I mean? So that's when I started.
That's powerful, man.
That internet is crazy. It's something different.
And then also, you got Love & Hip Hop now.
Yeah, I was fortunate enough. Listen, I'm going to tell y'all.
Yeah, Chrissy, that's him, y'all.
Chrissy is like a sister to me, man. And honestly, she shocked me when she asked me to come on, would I mind coming on with her, whatever, and be a part of storyline. So I was on. It was fun. I mean, it was fun. It was cool. You know what I mean? It was cool. You know what I mean? Like, I left with no scratches, no scars. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man. I see you pull up. And when we first reached out, and Shai was like, yo, big business, he's coming on. I'm like, all right. I was like, looking at my TV, I'm like, yo, I think this is him. He's like, nah, he's not on there. I said, I literally recorded my TV. I said to the clip, he's like, well, I guess he is on there.
Yeah, it was cool. It was cool. You know what I mean? Just talking, you know, people say, man, you were so natural on TV. I'm like, well, I'm in the back of my car talking to my sister about what I do. You know what I mean? Yeah, so, yeah. How, you know, what was so hard about that? You know what I mean?
That's
so,
a fact.
Yeah, it was dope, though. It was a good look, man. Yeah,
I want to talk about something that you're doing, and it's about to start in the next couple of days or so. But you've been doing it for a long time, and that's teaching. Right. You have these classes where you're teaching trades, which is so important because a lot of schools, especially, you know, I work in education, they've taken vocational schools out of school districts.
Right.
But you're teaching trades that can actually be used for a lot of the youth. Right. So right now you got your plumbing, electric and welding classes that you're doing. But you've done this for a long time. Right.
Right. Yeah.
Talk about that a little bit.
So, I mean, there's a lot of kids that come to me for jobs because they know I hire just about anybody. And I hate that they come for just demo. Mm-hmm. All kids want to do is just throw trash. You know what I mean? Like, there's no skill set in that. You know what I mean? It's no elevation in that to me. You know, I'm not taking that from trash guys or demo guys, but I just want kids to have more of a skill set. You know what I mean? So what I started doing is this is how truthfully it came about. Somebody saw my social media and wanted me to come and promote their school, trade school. Mm-hmm. So I got in there and I sat with the people. And I found out how much they was charging. And he was like, well, these people really don't have to worry about it. Government funds it. Excuse me. We just need them to, they just need to be a part of the class for 6 months. So I felt like, damn, like, do they really care if these guys get the trade?
Put you part of the system.
Yeah. No, and no disrespect to them. It had became, in the beginning, it could have been a good thing. But it had became a business. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I was like, damn. And most of the people, of course, you know, I mean, they high school dropouts, so how long they really gonna stay in school? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Learning a trade. You understand? Coming in at 8 o'clock or whatever time, they can't miss a certain amount of days, like when they get kicked out, so forth and so on. So I just said, I'm just gonna start a trade school for $500. Now that's how we all benefit though.
Yeah.
$500 for electrical class. 2 week class. At the end of the class, we give you a job to make your $500 back. Mm-hmm. Right? Now this is where I benefit. You pay me $500 to teach you how to do the electrical the right way while working hands-on in my house.
Yeah.
So I get free labor for 2 weeks from you, but in return, you get a trade. And then going into the third and fourth week, I'm building a bigger team because now
I got you.
Yeah.
And you probably have them for a longer duration,
I got them for the, then we roll with them.
Yeah,
those that want to stay, you know, people figure, oh, I could do it on my own, I could do this. Like, man, you should see people, kids able to go home and change the ceiling fan, fix the outlet at home, teaching them a trade, you know what I mean, for $500. They can come learn electrical for 2 weeks, come do a couple of jobs, make $500 back, and then take the same $500 and go to the next trade the next month.
And this is in Philly?
This is in Philly.
Yeah, I saw you're looking for 18 to 20 year olds to even just sponsor.
I'm sponsoring them. Y'all want to hear the sad part? How many people y'all think signed up?
Don't say it. Don't say it.
Yo, for real. Y'all got to understand. 10 people might have called. Yeah. It's thousands. That shout out might have got 20,000 views. And you got 10 people that said, and guess who always called? And I hate to say this to the fellas, it's always my boyfriend, my dad, my nephew, my son. It's always the women. The guys won't say, I don't think I had one man. A couple of young boys did come hit me. But very rarely you have a man say, yo, you know, I want to sign up for the class. Mm-hmm. Like it's always, yo, my nephew, my brother. Like these women are like, it's crazy, man. It's crazy.
Community.
Yeah, but those trade classes, man, you need them, man. Go a long way. Think about it. If I teach you electrical and you come and then you teach them, then y'all got an electrical team.
Yeah. At 18.
At 18 years old, running. In a market like this, with all real estate, a market like this, guess why people going to hire y'all? Because y'all cheap. Because y'all cheaper than with the average person. He want 8,000. You want 2.
Yeah, exactly.
So
Maybach Construction. Your company.
Right.
So what's the deal with that? Can people hire you for outside projects or you only work on your own projects?
Nah, we do, man. We do so many houses in the city of Philly. We license in Philly. Mm-hmm. We license in Cleveland. Maybach Construction Philly, Maybach Construction Cleveland, Maybach Construction Baltimore, and Jersey. So I'm going to tell you why I got Jersey.
Okay.
Not because I really want to work in Jersey. So a friend of mine owns the Showboat. hotel in Atlantic City.
Okay.
Yeah, he bought it off of his billionaires named Bart Blatstein. He bought it off of foreclosure for $25
million. Okay.
And he had about a certain amount of rooms in there. I think he had 500 hotel rooms he wanted to convert to like 250 condos or whatever. I forget what he was trying to do, something to that effect. And he gave me an opportunity to take the job. So I went and got licensed. But then I blew up so fast and started doing other stuff, I didn't really have the opportunity to get to it. Mm-hmm. But I am licensed in Jersey just behind that.
Just for that?
Yeah.
So they can just contact your company and then...
Yeah, they can contact Maybach Construction. Contact our main number in Philly.
So your wife is doing her thing as well?
Yeah.
Can you talk about that?
My wife owns a company called Diamante Financial. Now, let me tell y'all what happened. Coming up in this business, you're going to get a lot of doors closed in your face. Mm-hmm. And what I did was I sent everybody to school around me so that they can have different degrees or different certificates and things that I needed to get done. Because I couldn't teach them what I knew. You know, I went out and
like LeBron.
Yeah. I did the same thing. Everybody in y'all see in my camp is my folks. You know what I mean? So we do credit repair. We do investing. We teach construction. My wife has Diamante Financing, which is a financing company where she helped people get funding. People that barely know how to fill out applications, come on in. We're going to sit you down and we're going to help you. And this way we was able to kind of like blow it up to a different demographic. So now people are like, what? You mean to tell me I can get a loan? All I need is a 600 credit score. I don't got no job. Yeah, well, you know, the powers that be done put it in position for us to be out here now in this real estate thing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's weird. I just had a phone call with somebody last night. And I said to him, I said, yo, listen, think about it. All you need is 20% down and no job, right? 20% down, no job, and you can get anything you want. You want a $300,000 loan, you need 20% down, no job. I said, well, where you get 20% of that, $300,000 with no job?
Exactly.
I'm thinking my head right now.
I was just thinking that.
Because it's here, I'm telling you, it's put out there for a certain demographic of people to go get it. I mean, honestly, who do you go to rebuild the country? Only the people that tore it down. But they got to be able to eat. And somebody had to be able to understand the streets to understand that. You understand what I'm saying? We want this nation to be one of the most powerful nations in the world again. We want to make it great. We want to make the soil rich. Well, not if half of the cities aren't paying taxes and stuff. How do we do that? We get the influencers out there. We put their money in their pocket. We educate them. And they're going to go out and do so forth and so on. But the kicker is most of the time we lose this shit and they get it back. That's really what it is. That's the key. So now we out here. Now you got guys like myself from every city building these neighborhoods up. Most of them doing what I said, putting themselves in debt. Sooner or later, they'll lose it. The country will be at an all-time high. Everything will be fixed up. And the people who wanted to own it in the first place will fall back in their hands.
Yeah, they're going to get it back.
That's the truth. That's game.
Now, your wife has the Lady Millionaire Club, right?
Yes.
And you're going to start your own?
Billionaire Boys Investment Group.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's just a group of men just investing in certain things, certain investments. Really, honestly, the things that I want to get done that I know I can't get them done by myself as fast as I want to, I'm willing to bring some other men in and split the profits with them.
Dope. Together, everyone achieves more.
Yeah, that's it.
That's a fact. So you got the whole thing going. You got the construction. You got your wife doing the finance. And then you do the investment side. So the triangle offense.
That's it. Yeah. Got to.
You got it all. And you got the conference, right? Last year, you had the Year of the Millionaire Conference.
It was crazy. 2,500 people was there.
Atlantic City?
Atlantic City was crazy. Yeah, I got one coming up. February 28th to March 1st, Atlantic City, Showboat. It's going
to
be crazy.
Oh, you went back to the Showboat?
Yeah, why not? My friend
man owns it.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You know, I get discount. I pay what everybody else pay. You know, I'm over here different.
I know I didn't do the job, but look, I need the space, man.
Yeah, nah. I'm actually having a meeting with a mom this week. We meeting about some things this week, and I'm going to ask some questions about some things that I'm trying to do at another level, you know what I mean, and move forward, you know what I mean? But good guy.
Nah, Greg, big business, man, for real. Pleasure, man. Definitely. Thank you for rocking with us. Can you tell the people anything that you want to let them be aware of on social media handles, how they can, you know, get information?
Yeah, y'all can get in touch with me. I'm Big Business on Instagram. It's a lot of Z's.
But it's spelled,
stuff.
Yes.
A lot of Z's.
B-I-G-B-I-Z-Z-N-E-E. SSS. But if you hit Greg Parker, if you search Greg Parker, I'll come up with all the G's and the Z's and the N's. But you can catch me there. You can catch me on Facebook, Greg Parker, YouTube, Big Business. Greg Park, if you YouTube me, I don't know if y'all saw my any of my YouTube videos.
Yeah,
I got
the Element.
Yeah, yeah, I got videos Element. All over that.
You got 12 episodes up there.
Do I?
Yeah, yeah.
I you know what? You I know I tried more. To set a YouTube up like three different times. You know I got like three different YouTubes. Like, I don't really know
I
how it
worked. Back to 2015.
Yeah. No, I got some old ones.
I didn't see those. I just saw the ones on the site.
I got some old ones. You know what I'm saying?
I gotta go back. I
got some old ones. You know what I'm saying? Now, I've been doing it for a long time. I got some old ones. You know, they probably in black and white. You know what I mean? But thanks, y'all, man. I appreciate y'all having me, man. I'm apologize. It took me so long to get up here, man.
Nah. We made it, man. You know, it's
they don't know it's 3 o'clock in the morning. Should we tell them? We just got here. You know what I'm saying?
No, don't worry about it.
No, I appreciate y'all having me, man. For sure.
I hope the team was fed well.
Yeah. We got the whole North Philly in
North Philly. I'm not sure if they're part of the construction team or the bodyguards, but they're here.
Yeah, they're here.
Troy, some housekeeping items?
Yeah, man. Shout out to everybody on Patreon.com. Y'all know that's our Proud to Pay program. We are revamping it for our 1 year anniversary, so be on the lookout for that. It's going to be a big message going out. And shout out to all our new members. Sherry, she joined and she was on us. She signed up and like within the hour, she was like, I need my EYL University passcode. And we got it to her right away because we didn't want her to miss her episode, her webinar. So shout out to her and shout out to everybody that's been joining and everybody that's on EYL University. You know, that is our online school. And we do 3 webinars a week relating to real estate on Monday with Matt, MG, the mortgage guy, our brother. And then we have our guest webinar every Wednesday and Shadi and myself do our business related webinar on Thursdays, man. So everybody that's been tuning in and going back and watching the archive content, we appreciate that and keep supporting.
Yeah, EYL University is lit, man. Make sure you check us out on there. And we're going on tour. We're going to hit Houston. Yeah. We're going to hit Chicago. We're going to hit New York City, Toronto, of course, Philadelphia. Got to come to Philly if you're in town.
Yeah. I got y'all. Come to Philly.
All right.
Y'all want me to send for y'all? Come to Philly for sure.
Yeah, we good, man. So the book tip of this week is Adventures of Apple Parker. Wrote that book?
My daughter, 9 years old. 9-year-old author Apple Parker.
Dope. Yeah, when I found that out, I definitely had to give her a shout out. You know,
thanks,
We got to encourage literacy.
She's doing big things too.
Yeah, man.
She having book clubs. She gonna go to different cities, like rent skating rinks out and have people from my book. She about to do some crazy
stuff.
Let's
not breeze over that. She's a 9-year-old author, y'all. Like that's incredible.
Yeah. And she wrote the books as life stories, her life stories, vacations, trip to the mall with her mom or whatever the case may be. But these are her own stories and her own words. So I'm super proud of her.
Yeah. Where can you get the book at Amazon?
Amazon, yep. Adventures of Apple Parker.
Adventures of Apple Parker. There you have it. So don't forget our YouTube either. Thank you guys. 50,000 on YouTube. So now we got to get to the 100 so we can beat a diamond or something like that.
But they didn't send you a plaque when you get to 100.
You need $100,000. We need $100,000.
We got to get that $100,000.
We need that
bean.
So yeah, man, make sure you subscribe to our YouTube and check us out on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Yeah. And
write comments too. Write comments.
Yeah, like, subscribe, write comments. The whole vibe.
Everything.
Thank you guys for rocking with us. We'll see you next week. Peace.